So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about, first and foremost, what is your position in all of this? And specifically, tell us, what is the HRSA grant?
Yeah, so I work at the Chautauqua County Department of Mental Hygiene. In 2019, that department was awarded a competitive federal grant, $1 million over 3 years, to address opioid addiction and other addictions here in Chautauqua County. My job is to oversee that grant. And what that grant, amongst many things, is supporting is the drawing together of the principal providers of services that address addiction. And by services here, I mean from prevention to treatment to recovery to harm reduction, and even other services that are otherwise related. So it's bringing together in a coordinated, collaborative sort of fashion all of these principal providers. And then it's providing funds to help support some of the programming that is going on here in the county.
I don't think Joe Schmo listening would actually understand or believe that there are so many different organizations that have a hand in battling the opioid crisis. I mean, not just from law enforcement and medical professionals, but all these other type of agencies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you say, well, you don't want to get too many hands in the pot, you know, meddling. But in this case, you kind of have to, because we have such a large geographic location, too.
We have a large geographic location. We're a large rural county, and of course that poses its own set of challenges. We also, as many counties do, we're not unique in having a severe opioid and other addiction issues here in the county. But yes, we have a certain richness of services, which, you know, makes the current spike in overdose fatalities exceptionally tragic. It would be tragic on its own measures, of course, but there is help available. There are services in our county. And again, they range from prevention in our schools, helping our kids develop the skills that will give them what they need as they develop to avoid starting problematic patterns at a young age. Multiple treatment agencies, including those that can prescribe approved medications for, say, opioid use disorder. We have strong recovery agencies, peers, 12-step fellowships, et cetera, that are available for people to get the kind of ongoing support that they need. And it does go beyond even sort of the, you know, hang in there and, you know, keep going with your recovery. Certainly there's that. There's help to find work. There are programs that can help round out some of the skills, interests, et cetera, that people might have, but that addiction has just sort of eclipsed entirely. And we have, and this is so important to say right now as we're in the midst of this current spike in fatalities, we have what are often called harm reduction services available. All that I was describing before by way of treatment and recovery especially, and all that the future can hold for somebody, even though they are today struggling with addiction, they're obviously of no value if that person isn't alive tomorrow. And today, in this 2021, we're seeing far too many people that are overdosing and dying. Harm reduction reduces the chances that that is the outcome of their addiction today. So, for example, Narcan, many people have heard of, or Naloxone is the generic name. Very available, for free, a variety of sources. It's life-saving, and indeed has saved literally hundreds of lives in our county over the past few years. It's administered when somebody does have an opioid overdose, and it reverses the effects of that. There's several places to obtain free Naloxone. The best way to find a source of that would be to go to a website that contains a lot of the information that relates to the issues of addiction here. CombatAddictionCHQ.com. So CombatAddictionCHQ.com. Among other resources, you'll see on that front page, actually, places to get Naloxone. Other ways in which somebody who is in the throes of addiction can be helped, at least today, to avoid the fatal, tragic outcomes that we're just seeing so many of recently.
And to put it in other words, there's a really bad batch of drugs out there right now.
Yeah. So working at the county level, I am, I guess we could say, given the vantage point of being able to see some of the numbers, you know, in the aggregate. And I hasten to say that it's not just a series of spreadsheets and numbers for me. It's nor for anybody that's working in this field. These are people. These are families. And every one of them a tragic outcome. But when we do look at some of the public health data, it's evident that what is happening in our county right now is, as you put it, some really bad drugs out on the streets. And here's really the strongest indication of that, in addition to what the police are reporting to us as well. But this year, 2021, to date here in mid-May, we have had roughly the same number of non-fatal overdoses in the county as we did last year in 2020. So the number of overdoses themselves doesn't seem to be changing a lot. But the number of fatalities this year has more than doubled. More people are dying when they overdose. And that almost certainly, there could be some other factors contributing to this, but almost certainly the main driver of that is the nature of the drug supply. And specifically, this extremely potent and therefore deadly opioid called fentanyl. It's being found in certainly drugs like heroin. It's being, as they call it, cut or, you know, added to that, obviously by, you know, folks for whom the quantities are not going to be in any form exact. But even more is that it is coming into the drug supplies of folks who aren't even interested in taking an opioid. So, for example, somebody that's using methamphetamine may well be taking an opioid for which their tolerance level, their body, is not at all prepared to be able to manage. And so, really, a message that I think is not hysteria by any stretch, given what we see happening right now, is this. Any illicit drug may very well contain a deadly amount of fentanyl.
It could be your first and your last experience with drugs.
Exactly. In fact, certainly one of the risk factors is the absence of a tolerance. So whether it's your first use, another high-risk population are people that have, for whatever reason, been able to attain some abstinence for a period of time. Maybe it's by their own work in recovery. Maybe it's been some hospitalization or incarceration. But the body begins to decrease in their tolerance. They return, for whatever reason, back into a pattern of drug use. And their first use upon return is one which, A, they don't know what they're getting in terms of the drug that they're using because, of, again, this is not a safe drug supply. And, B, their tolerance has gone down.
I know there are some options for people who, and we understand that, they call it addiction for a reason. It's addiction. Yes. And you can't just stop cold turkey. No. So what ways can our audience encourage their family members or themselves, if they're listening, to check and make sure that the drugs they are recreating with are, I'm doing air quotes,
yes,
safe?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, air quotes is the right term because there's no guarantee with an illicit drug. However, again, the services of treatment, of recovery, of life, if you will, after addiction, which is a reality, and we have to say that over and over again, because in the throes of addiction, whether for the person struggling with a substance use disorder or their family members, it looks hopeless. It's not. And that is the testimony of throngs of people. But that's for a day when they can get to that place. Today, if just staying alive has to be the first goal, then in addition to having Narcan on hand, again, freely available, combataddictionchq.com, we'll point you in the direction to get it. There are also places to get, for example, fentanyl test strips. And the point here is that somebody can check their drug supply and discover, does it in fact include this deadly drug, fentanyl? And if it does, to be mindful of the fact that it is very risky. There are other harm reduction sort of techniques, if you will. I mean, basic common sense. Again, we look forward to helping people move beyond the patterns of addiction, but if they are in them right now, we want them to stay alive. Their life is immensely, you know, priceless. So we would say, use with somebody, or have somebody with you, I should put it that way, such that if there is, in fact, an overdose, they're able to administer naloxone, call 911. There are even places where a person can phone and say, you know, I'm using a substance, and I want to make a note of that, and I will call you back in 15 minutes or whatever the time frames are. And if they don't, and they give some other information, and if they don't call back, then that service will alert 911. So there are what we call harm reduction efforts that can help a person, even in the throes of addiction, keep alive. And I want to say again, your life is too valuable to be placed at the kind of risk that we see too many people having been placed at right now.
Stigma is a big thing that I know we have focused on here at Media One Radio Group over the last few years when it comes to this forefront of combating addiction. And one of the stigmas out there is that it's nothing but young people. It's nothing but Hispanics or the Black community or poverty community. If one thing has become true, and I'm sure you can speak to it, is this is a danger to every age group, every demographic, every income level, and every age group. I was fascinated by you telling me the average age of people who have been dying of drug overdoses this year.
Yeah, the median age this year in 2021 has been in the mid-40s. And, you know, the stories of people with addiction, the stories of people who die from addiction, an overdose, are as varied as the stories of the people that you or I would go into a store and see. If there is one sort of major takeaway that I think all of us have to come to grips with, it is this. Addiction is complex, exceedingly complex. Anybody who says they kind of have it all figured out and know the answer and why it happens and what the solution is clearly unfamiliar with the tangled webs that addiction brings. The biological elements of it cannot be denied. There are distinct changes in the brain when people are regularly using addictive substances. It makes it a different experience than for somebody deciding what color shirt to put on in the morning. At the same time, people with addiction do have what we would say agency. They can make choices. And if they know that there are people out there that can help them, then we want them to make that choice. But you're right. There are no, let's call it this, there are no stereotypes that can make, you know, application. Do some people start their substance use recreationally and even, let's face it, irresponsibly? Of course. And personally, Andrew, I'm glad that I'm not given a death sentence for every bad choice that I've made in my life. Who of us can say that we've never done something that was kind of a knucklehead thing, you know, especially in our youth when, you know, we're not really clear about certain things. But that said, there are people, this fact of the increasing age of those that are dying of overdoses is probably an indication of the amount of pain relief that's being sought through the use of opioids. Namely, as we know, the older we get, the more prone we can be to, you know, certain aches and pains. And obviously, for some people, that's more than just a nuisance. It's an excruciating thing. And it's not easy to get pain relief. And while obviously we don't want illicit drugs to be their solution and would hope that they could and help would want to help them get better solutions, I think we can be empathetic to somebody who's experiencing excruciating pain. So the stories of addiction are as varied as the stories of humanity. And until I think we recognize that, we find ourselves applying ideas to addiction that just don't stick in all cases.
In our future segments here on this public service campaign that we are doing, we're going to be meeting some of the people, some of the names that might be familiar to those in the community when it comes to combating, helping, but also maybe talking to some people in the forefront that have been there themselves and have either successfully battled and overcome, and maybe even some people who are still in that battle with addiction. But for now, I think our biggest takeaway from this is a warning.
Yes. Yes. We are in the midst right now, and the residents of this county need to understand that we are in the midst now of a pace of overdose fatalities that, if it were to continue, will make 2021 by far the most deadly year that we have on record for drug overdoses. There is very deadly drugs in our illicit drug supply right now. We encourage people to reach out for help, certainly to be mindful of what's out there, and to reach out, get services, whether that means naloxone, fentanyl test strips, treatment, of course, we encourage. And again, we would, by way of a central place to learn where some of these resources can be accessed, we would encourage folks to go to combataddictionchq.com.